on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? It's another edition of the YokeCast podcast. We're winding down the final few episodes of the year. Take a summer break coming up here in just a little bit, and then we'll be back at it for another season if all goes well, but another episode, and here we go. This week, I had a chance to catch up with Sarah Reifenrath, one of the star tracksters at the University of South Dakota. She's been involved in a lot of record-breaking performances and relays and all of that good stuff, and obviously they are underway at the Outdoor Summit League Track and Field Championships in St. Paul, Minnesota. So really had a good chat with her earlier this week. And I also caught up with Logan Bornholt. She's one of the new members of the Coyote Athletics Department in kind of in the foundation, but working with athletics and big fundraising goals, certainly for her and for the athletic staff. And so we caught up this week to kind of talk about her role and what led her to the role of fundraising and for development and some of that stuff. So really good stuff for these gals coming up here in just a little bit. Obviously, it's a great week to officially introduce Carrie Amy as the next head women's basketball coach at the University of South Dakota. You can tell just how excited she is to be at USD and be a part of this program. And so when you get somebody that excited to be a part of what you got going on, that gets me fired up personally to see them succeed. So I'm really excited. I had a chance to chat with Coach Amy a little bit, and you'll hear some of that next week on the YokeCast podcast. So that's your teaser for next week, is we get a really long, in-depth conversation with Carrie Amy and talk about her climb up the coaching ranks. So I hope you're excited for that for next week, because I'm excited to share it with you because I thought it was a really, really good conversation. Long conversation, but really, really good conversation. So that's your teaser for what's coming up in next week's episode of the YokeCast podcast. It's crazy to think we're winding things down, right, with athletics right now, because you get the Summit League Track and Field Championships, Summit League Softball Tournament, all going on this week, and then we're into maybe some regionals or NCAA tournament type of stuff, whatever, over the next month, and then athletics takes a little time out, and we get ready for all these golf outings coming up. The Howling Pack puts on every year. The one in Yankton is May 22nd, then you have the one in Vermilion on May 31st, and then shortly after that, late June, there's one in Brandon, a couple of them, I think, and then, of course, you'll have the one in Beersford, which is always an excellent time at the bridges at Beersford. So a lot of that fun stuff coming up. Hope you can get registered for some of those, and maybe I'll see you at one of the events or more or something, and we'll get a chance to catch up and chat. One of the maybe surprising, maybe it was disappointing, whatever you want to call it, but you get excited for people because they make changes in their life, and you're bummed because they're leaving. And John Vining resigned as the head men's golf coach at the University of South Dakota. He's held that position for the last 6 years, and Coach Vining's been great. He's been great to work with, and obviously has tried to put together competitive golf teams at USD, and they're coming off a fourth-place finish at the Summit League Golf Championships. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see what direction they go with the men's golf program, but certainly wish all the best for John Vining as he moves forward and, you know, does some different things. And good for him. It's been great to have him at USD. He's been a big part of it for a long time. He competed at USD. He was an assistant coach at South Dakota and then the head coach of the Coyotes as well. So obviously he's been around it for a long time, and certainly appreciate all the conversations that I had with Coach Vining and the effort that he put forth at USD. You hate seeing coaches move on, but you also know that, you know, sometimes you just got to get out of things, and you got to make some changes in your life, and it can be an absolute grind being in athletics, and it just reminds us to, remember that a little bit and appreciate the effort these coaches put in, because this is their life when they are coaching at the collegiate level. So wish him all the best, no doubt about it. All right, let's get it started with Sarah Reifenrath. She is a track athlete at the University of South Dakota. They're underway at the Summit League Track Championships, but we had a chance to catch up and talk about her track career.
Sarah, you're getting ready for the conference track and field meet, and obviously a big meet. You get to this point in the season, and this is what it's all about. What's the excitement level like as you build up to that championship week?
It's definitely high. I mean, obviously, like, conference is kind of, you know, when you come in the fall and you have all the meetings with the coaches and your teammates, like, conference is kind of the end goal. So it's kind of what you prepare for all fall. So obviously, as you get closer and closer, the excitement just kind of reaches, you know, its highest levels.
You look at your track and field career at South Dakota. There's been a lot of highs. There's been a few lows for you in your career. How would you kind of assess just, like, your time at USD?
I mean, I think obviously it's been a success overall. I definitely feel like maybe I should have been where I am at like earlier, I guess, with, you know, I didn't get injuries. But I also think, I mean, most people get injured. I think it's pretty hard to avoid. So, yeah, I mean, obviously overwhelming success, I'd say, overall.
You came in your freshman year. I think you set a record your freshman year. Mm-hmm. Did that set the bar too high too early, or what was that like coming in right away and just kind of making your mark?
I mean, I don't think it set the bar too high, but it definitely set a lot of expectations. And so definitely when suffering from injuries, it made it a lot harder because I kind of felt like I was like letting the team down and letting myself down in some cases. But I don't think you can set the bar too high necessarily. So
you've mentioned a couple of times the injuries and the challenges going through. How did you get through that time period? Because obviously it's a very frustrating time when you're a competitive athlete to have to deal with injuries. How do you try to navigate that?
I was basically just forced to sit out. I just had to learn a lot of patience and just kind of definitely learn as I went. I think I came out a better athlete and just a more mature athlete because of it. So in some ways, maybe it was a good thing, but it would be interesting to see what would have happened if maybe I hadn't got injured, but you know, it is what it is. So
did it produce more motivation for you?
It definitely, like, I think one of the ways, like, it made me a better athlete is that, like, I learned how much it meant to me, and I don't think I quite realized, like, how important it was to me until I couldn't do it. So definitely I think it motivates me, and it makes me more appreciative of, like, when I do get to compete. And I remember I noticed this indoor, I wasn't as nervous for my races because I think I was just, like, so excited to, like, be back. So that was kind of, that was nice, I think, to see.
So did that calm all the nerves, or do you get some nerves back in? Because that's just the way it goes at the start of
No,
it.
I definitely still got nervous, but there was kind of excitement with it, too. So just, I guess, more emotion in general, but yeah.
You're from down the road in Hardington. Was South Dakota always a place that you thought maybe you could end up? Was it always top on your list to stay close to home?
Yeah, and it was close to home, and my aunt actually went here and like early 2000s, and then my sister was going here, so it was definitely kind of just, even without track, it was always like kind of an option for me. So yeah.
How cool has it been, you know, you look at South Dakota, and obviously you get some opportunities to practice indoors, and when football's going on, you got to kind of do some different things without the track, but obviously right around the time that right before you started here, they built the new track outdoor. What has that been like, and how does that help the track program?
I mean, yeah, having like your own outdoor facility like gives us the option to like host a lot of home meets, which I think is great because it gives you a chance to compete at, like, you know, being able to sleep in your own bed and like eat your own food is such a huge competitive advantage. And it also gives more opportunities to like people who can't travel. And just having your own track to practice on is just, it's obviously, that's a huge advantage compared to not having one. So, yeah.
You've been a part of a lot of winning events, but you look back at your career and you've been the Summit League Outstanding Performer and Newcomer of the Championships and Track Athlete of the Year, and I mean, so many different awards and accolades, and I know a lot of people don't like to talk about those, but it's a reflection of the effort that you put forth and your training. What does that mean to you when you look back at some of that and think about all the success?
I mean, I think looking back on it, it's easier to appreciate. Like, I think freshman year, I didn't quite know, like, how, I guess, like, kind of rare that is. So, like, looking back on it, I can kind of see now, like, oh, that was pretty special. But I'm glad at the time I still don't think I let it like get to my head or anything, and obviously you still have to work hard for it, you know, and I'm not just getting them handed to me, obviously. So yeah, but I mean it's nice to get the recognition for the hard work, so yeah.
What was the biggest adjustment you had to make from high school to college? Obviously, you were very successful in high school. Training, I would imagine, is a little bit different at the collegiate level. What was the biggest adjustment you had to make, and how did you get there?
I think just kind of, I had to just make sure like I kept kind of the confidence that I had from high school. I think some freshmen kind of struggle with that. Like you come into this, you know, big Division I school, and it's, you know, coming from high school where you're the best, it can be hard to kind of like keep that kind of like confidence. So I think it was important for me just to kind of like be like, I'm still, you know, good. Maybe I'm not as good as the upperclassmen, but like I still like belong here. So that I think was important to me.
South Dakota in track and field is expected year in and year out to compete for team championships, right? In indoor and outdoor. What is that like going into the season, knowing that, you know, you see the preseason polls, you understand the expectations of the mm-hmm. program, and just trying to continue to reach those goals?
Yeah, I mean, I think it helps, like, you know, like I said, in the fall, like, that's kind of the goal. And I think it's nice to kind of have that extra motivation. You don't have to just be motivated by like, oh, I want to run well, because, you know, some days it's just you don't feel like doing it, and it's kind of nice to have that extra like, well, thinking of like your team, doing it for your teammates instead of yourself. And yeah, I think it's like the expectation is like a privilege to be expected to perform that well.
You've been a part of some relays this year that continues to set records and has just been really, really good. And a couple of them have maybe some of the same team members. Some of them are a little bit different. What does this particular group mean to you that you get to compete with?
Relays are so fun because I find that I'm more motivated when, you know, you're not just running for yourself. And I think we just have a good group of girls who I think we've all finally, like, we knew that we had the potential, and I think it was in Arkansas, we ran that 334, and I feel like that was kind of the first time we all were, like, performed our best on the same day, and I think we kind of realized, like, holy crap, like, we're maybe even better than we thought, and, like, we have a chance to go to indoor nationals, and now we have a chance to go to outdoor nationals, and so I think that's just been really motivating for us.
When you look at just track in general, what is your favorite event? Is it one of the relays? Is it one of the individual events?
I mean, I'd say it's pretty close between. I mean, I do like the 4x4 a lot. I think the 4x4 is maybe the most fun. But I have a special place for the 400 always. I feel like that's kind of like my event, but probably a tie between the 400 and the 4x4.
You're an old pro at it now, but talk about the relays and the exchange of the baton. How much focus does that take to make sure that, you know, we get that clean exchange?
Yeah, and the 4x4, it's not, we've been pretty good about that, so it doesn't take a lot of practice. But the 4x1, we definitely were always practicing that, and Daski always wants to extend the steps as much as possible. So, but that's, you know, that's a way to get a fast time. And you know, when I would say we don't necessarily have the talent compared to, you know, like maybe like in Arkansas or Texas, I think that handoffs is kind of like our special ingredient that we use to kind of fight our way up the ranks. So, yeah.
It feels like there's hardly any off season for track and field athletes. How do you stay motivated throughout the whole year? I know indoor and outdoor technically are different seasons, but really it's just a continuation for you know, all intents and purposes. How do you stay motivated for the entire year?
I think having two conferences helps because, you know, you kind of build up to indoor and then there's a little break and then it's like, okay, now we focus on outdoor, and just that change of scenery in outdoor I think helps. But yeah, it can be hard sometimes, especially like summer, middle summer. You kind of are like, what am I doing out in the 90 degree weather? But I think it's just kind of remembering, like, sometimes thinking of like times that we lost, and like obviously not wanting to feel that again. But yeah, it can be hard sometimes to keep the motivation.
Prefer indoor or outdoor?
I don't know. It depends. Sometimes when it's like a windy meet, I miss indoor. But I'd say outdoor is kind of more. I considered the, like, real track, so I'd say probably outdoor, but yeah, I like indoor more than most people, I think.
In the rare time that you're not running or training, mm-hmm. what do you do in your free time?
I play some video games, watch YouTube, Netflix, Probably doing schoolwork, so yeah.
I saw you were a computer science major.
Yeah.
What's the goal with that?
I don't really know yet. I'm taking a fifth year, so I have a little bit more time to decide. I'm leaning kind of like data analytics more, but I mean, I'd really be open to anything. I don't have anything specific planned out yet, so.
I know sometimes in track and field, some athletes will compete maybe in indoor, maybe an outdoor, but not the other one. Some of it's injury related. Some of it's just, you know, you choose which one to redshirt. How do you try to navigate that, and how much do you lean on your coaches for that advice?
I mean, I would definitely like take into consideration, you know, the conference, because indoor to outdoor can be pretty different. So if it looks like we have a better chance at indoor versus outdoor, that's maybe how I would decide it. But I also think outdoor, you look at, like, you know, some people are focusing on the trials and stuff like that, so maybe not doing indoor to focus on outdoor and that. Luckily, I've never really been in that position where I've had to, like, decide. Injuries decided for me, so, yeah, I don't really know. It's not a decision I would want to make, but, yeah.
What excites you about this week, about this team and its opportunity ahead?
I just think, I mean, NDSU, obviously, they have a really good track team, and I think the Summit League in general has just, the past couple years has gotten really competitive, so I think it's just a great opportunity. Like, I think there's going to be some really fast times run, you know, maybe some, like, Olympic standards met. Like, I think it's just going to be kind of a crazy meet, so I'm excited for that.
Do you set goals as far as times that you're trying to hit, or is it just, you know, how you want to approach the event and the time is what it is?
I mean, there's definitely some, like, goal times, but I think I try to focus more on, like, you know, certain cues or certain things I want to improve on, and then, you know, hopefully the times come from that. Because I think sometimes setting, like, I want to do this specific time can just lead to, like, disappointment. And if you're not, you can just, say I want to run a 51 or whatever, but if you're not thinking about what you need to do to run that, then it doesn't really do anything.
Well, it should be a fun week at the Summit League Championships. Have a great week. Travel safe, and good luck in the Summit League Championships.
Yep, thank you very much.
That is Sarah Reifenrath. She has certainly had a great career at the University of South Dakota, and as she said, she's looking forward to another season of track. So keep up to date with all the results going on with everything at the Summit League Outdoor Track and Field Championships. You can do that at goyotes.com.
One of the newest members of the South Dakota Athletics Department staff is Logan Bornhold, who came to USD from Dakota State, now the assistant AD for development. Logan, how's the transition been for you?
It's been very busy, so very crazy. So I actually am just coming off maternity leave as well, and bought a house, and so, yeah, we're moving down to Vermilion. I've been working. This is my fourth week, but we haven't gotten to close on our house yet. And then, you know, it's just been a busy time for USD with the Calling All Coyotes and some other events that are popping up now. So it's been wonderful, but it's been very, very busy. So all very positive, though.
Maternity leave means a big life change.
Yeah.
How has that been for you?
Exhausting. I'm tired all the time. So, no, it's been wonderful. So, yeah, we had a son at the end of December, and he is wonderful and perfect, he doesn't like to sleep at night, so.
You've built your development fundraising career over the last 5 years.
Yeah.
What kind of got you started on this career path?
Yeah, so it really started at Mount Marty. I was working at Mount Marty. It's where I went to undergrad. And I was working at Mount Marty. I was the head men's and women's golf coach. And then I was also the assistant women's basketball coach. And Chris Kasson was our AD at the time. He had hired me in those positions. And so I knew I wanted to be in athletics. I knew I probably wanted to be more on the admin side of things. And so there was a position that had opened up in the advancement department at Mount Marty, and kind of annual giving fundraising on the athletic side. And I said, I think I could do that, like, because we have to fund, you know, smaller school. We had to do a lot of fundraising on our own to, you know, help our programs out. And so I was already kind of doing a lot of that. And so I said, I could do that. So that was my third job at Mount Marty, and smaller university where you wear a lot of hats. And so, yeah, I was very grateful for that opportunity, which led to me getting the job at Dakota State and working for John Schemmel there. So.
You mentioned undergrad at Mount Marty,
yeah.
And some may or may not know this, but you were a part of one of the greatest women's mm-hmm. basketball teams ever at Mount
yeah.
Marty and made it to the national semifinals mm-hmm. in Sioux City, mm-hmm. which, you know, for Mount Marty was huge.
Yeah.
It was a monumental thing
yeah.
for the community of Yankton. What do you remember
sure.
about, like, that particular team and
yeah.
why that was so fun and what made that so special?
Yeah, super, super fortunate to be a part of that experience and that team and just all, like, the best thing about sports is the relationships that you get from it. And a lot of those girls, we all keep in touch, today and, you know, in each other's weddings and that sort of thing. So, like I said, just super grateful for that experience. I think the thing that I remember the most, and I think a lot of the other girls would say this as well, is just the crowd that we had, you know, like we really helpful, Yankton being an hour from Sioux City. And so we were just getting, and we played all the night games. It really worked out. We had all the evening games somehow. And so we were just getting these massive crowds and we would keep winning and we just would keep getting more people. So like that really sticks in my brain. And I think a lot of the girls would say that as well. So yeah, it was just great. It was a great time. It was a great experience. Like I think we all look back very fondly on that experience. So
some of those special runs, there's a point where it clicks and you're like, wow,
yeah.
we could really do this.
Yeah.
When did that click for you that realized how good you guys actually were?
Concordia. We played Concordia. Like I said, everybody from this team like kind of laughs at this moment, but I think it was around Christmas time. We were 500 in league. We were 500 in the conference. And to the point where, like, we didn't even know if we were going to make the conference tournament at that point in time. And this was, like, Christmas time. And we played Concordia down in Seward and got smoked. And we got back to the gym that night, and Coach Schlimgen got after us, to put it nicely. Like, we got back in the locker room, and he let us have it. And it was, like, something clicked after that, and we just rolled after that. And, I don't think we lost, like, another game until the conference tournament semifinals. So, yeah, we were just kind of rolling then. So
pretty cool year.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of Mount Marty fans and Yankton people still think back to that
yeah.
time and,
yeah.
and got to be a little bit of part of that.
Yeah.
You left Mount Marty, obviously you graduated, but then you eventually came back as you talked about. And
yeah.
You were coaching for a while. Was coaching
yeah.
something that you had thought about doing, or did it kind of just happen?
To be completely honest, I think it kind of just happened. I was actually, speaking of Concordia, I went down to grad school down there. I was their graduate assistant for the golf program, and I was working on my master's at the time. And I gotten a call from Todd Schlimgen asking if, you know, hey, would you be interested in the golf program and being the assistant women's basketball program? And I was like, I don't know, maybe. Like I also didn't really have any plans after grad school, so I was like, I guess, and to my point earlier, like I always knew I wanted to be in athletics in some capacity, I just wasn't sure how. And so I think I was like 23 at the time, and I was like, okay, this is a start, right? Like this is a good like a good foot in the door, and this is a great start. And it was a place I really cared about, and programs I really cared about, obviously. So, I agreed to do that. So I left Concordia early so I could come back up, and then just switched all my schooling to online. So that was a very busy year. So yeah, finished my master's, but ended up finishing it all online. So
it got you back closer to your hometown. Was
yeah.
that always by design?
Yeah, no, not really. Like, you know, and I think a lot of people when they're young, they're all like, yeah, I'm gonna go, you know, far away, and
yeah.
you know, and I'm gonna go to the big city. And I was, I think, maybe a little bit of that mindset. So big city for me was Lincoln, I guess.
Yeah.
I lived in Lincoln for a year. But yeah, it was like, just like I said, it just kind of like happened, and it wasn't like by plan, or it wasn't like, oh, I really want to be back to Yankton. It was just like, it just kind of happened, and it was the best. Like I had, like it was a great experience, and so I was very grateful for it. And yeah, it was great. So
you come to South Dakota after a few years at Dakota State, and
yeah.
you were a part of a really, really big campaign effort at Dakota
mm-hmm.
State.
Yeah.
What made that such a special effort for you?
Yeah, I think the campaign itself, so we, and they still currently are in this campaign, Dakota State is, it was a massive campaign for Dakota State. For the size school that Dakota State is, it was It's a $250 million project, and so it was massive. And I think a lot of people were like, ah, yeah, pipe dream kind of thing. And then they brought in John Schemmel, and then all of a sudden it started becoming a reality. And so it was just, like I said, and we had a very small team. Actually, that's one of the big things I'm learning right now in my new role is, like, I've never worked with this many people or had this many hands in it. Like, it's wonderful, it's great. Like, but so Dakota State is just smaller, and we had our entire foundation was 9 people, and I was doing the athletic fundraising. And so, you know, managing the events and the annual fund and then doing major gift fundraising as well. So like it was, you just kind of wore a lot of hats, small school. So yeah, just what we were able to accomplish with just a small team, and also kind of just, like I said, a lot of people are like, oh no, that's, you know, great idea, but I don't know if it's actually going to happen. And now it's, you know, buildings are getting built, and you know, we raised a lot of money for scholarships. And so, yeah, it was, I cannot say enough about it, my experience at Dakota State and the people and the community. So yeah, it was great. So.
You mentioned they brought in John Schemmel.
Yeah.
Eventually he goes to USD. That's your connection. Connections lead you to the University of South Dakota. What makes USD in this position a fit for you?
Yeah. You know, when I was leaving Dakota State, I was telling people, because you meet a lot of, you know, specifically in my role, like I meet with a lot of people, I build these relationships, and I was like, it's like it has nothing to do with Dakota State. It's just this opportunity is just super special for a lot of reasons. So just with the vision that John has, and with the opportunity there. And then on the other side, this is personal. Like, this is an area that's really meaningful to us. And this is an area that we care a lot about, and there's, you know, family and friends here. So, like I said, just the opportunity for USD and all the wonderful things that are happening in the athletic department, to be a part of that. But then on the other side too, like I said, it's personal too. So. Yeah.
Well, you look at just getting started at South Dakota, and you, I know, have been really, really busy. Mm-hmm. How would you, for people who look at your role and say assistant AD for development,
yeah,
like, how would you explain that?
Yeah. I mean, very simply put, is I fundraise for athletics specifically. But I guess in a more depth explanation is, you know, my day-to-day is I meet with a lot of people. I meet with businesses, and we honestly just talk about a lot of the time of, one, what their passions are, what they care about with USD, and how and if they want to be involved in what capacity. So, again, like my job is to build relationships, keep people connected to the university, and build partnerships, you know, like, what, how do you want USD to succeed, and how do you want to be a part of that, and if at all, which is, you know, so like I said, that's kind of my day to day. And then I help with some of the events, like I said, that is kind of more annual dollars that come in. So like I said, the golf tournaments we were talking about earlier, so we have some golf tournaments coming up, so I'll kind of have my hand in that a little bit, just because I have experience in that. So, but yeah.
The golf thing's been something that USD has done for a long time,
yeah,
and it's kind of shifted around a little bit, but you always have your core places, and it starts in Yankton, and,
yeah,
you know, sometimes there's some out Rapid City. I know this year it's not on the list, but obviously the big one in Vermilion, and
yeah,
a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah, so learning for me, like I said, it's almost kind of like a tour, so yeah, it's very cool. I have the dates here, so we have coming up at Hillcrest on May 22nd, we have our first golf outing. The next one is in Vermilion, that's on May 31st. And then we go to Brandon on June 24th, and there's actually two sessions for the Brandon outing, so hopefully we can get a good crowd for that. And then we'll wrap it up with Beersford on July 29th. So yeah, kind of like a tour, so it's pretty cool, it'll be fun. So, and I think I get to golf in them, so that's exciting. I haven't always got to golf in golf tournaments that I've been a part of, so yeah, I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. It's a great chance to get out and see people, and a lot of times our coaches are there,
yeah,
and people love just mixing,
yeah,
and mingle with the coaches.
Yeah, I just talked to John yesterday. I hate to admit it, he's a pretty good golfer, pretty solid. So he's going to do a celebrity shot in the Vermilion golf outing. So that'll be kind of fun for him. And so have hit some shots for some of the people, and just get to interact with, you know, fans and donors and alums. So that'll be cool. So
you talk about meeting people and making relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You remember everybody's name by now?
No, absolutely not. So I'm still, yeah, I'm still working on that. You would think with the jobs I've had, I'd be better at remembering names, and I am not. So, yeah, I definitely need to work on that. So, yeah.
You should just tell them, listen, the more you give, the more I'll remember.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. So, yeah, definitely still learning names. I think I've introduced myself a couple times to the same people. So, and then they're like, yeah, we've met. I was like, shoot, I know we have. So I'm sorry, you know. So, yeah, getting down names and faces, and yeah, just trying to meet as many people as possible right now. So,
when you look at USD, and obviously you've been there for a few weeks now, so you kind of you're getting to understand it, but still some things to learn.
Sure.
What do you see as kind of an outsider coming in as like shortfall areas or areas of, you know, importance and focus that need to happen?
Yeah, I think the first and most obvious one, and I think John has already kind of started to address it, is NIL in the collective and just how important that is. So again, that is something that we really need to build up. It's really important. It's a part of college athletics today. And so, like I said, I know we have started a collective, but that severely needs to get built up. So that, I think that's, you know, comes to mind right away. And then I think some of the other things that we're gonna be focusing on are some new facilities potentially, and then also just working up the endowment, so which is always a need wherever you go. So yeah, like I said, those three areas kind of come to mind. So
how has like today's college athletics world kind of shifted your your type of role, even? I didn't even think about that, but you know, a lot of these development fundraising people, it's always been about facilities and things like that. Now it's facilities and the NIL and some of that, and getting people on board. How has it shifted what you do?
Well, I mean, it shifts a lot of conversation. So me directly, like, I can't go, there's a lot of rules around NIL, so I can't go and, I guess, solicit for NIL. I can't say, hey, John, I really need you to, you know, do this for the student athlete. Like, I have to be out of that picture. But we can help facilitate it, I guess. You know, for example, like, we've created this collective, the Pride of the Western Plains. So we can help provide the resources for it too, like I said, the collective. So, but it gets brought up, like, this is my fourth week and I've already started meeting with donors one-on-one, and it has come up in every single conversation, right? Like, what about this NIL? Or, you know, like, it's like, how does that work? You know, they're just really curious. Because they're kind of learning too right now. I think everybody's learning, right?
Yep.
So yeah, it's like I said, necessary. There's a lot of people and donors interested in it, I think, based on my short time here. And so just kind of getting educated and figuring out the appropriate legal way to go about it. So,
what do you see as short and long term goals right now for your position?
I'd say short term, like, what I've been really focusing on is, again, I've said this a lot already, but meeting people, starting to build that relationship, right? So that comes from sitting down and having lunches and having coffees and going to people's offices. And like I said, they just want to just know who I am, and I want to know who they are. And so that is my short term. And then long term, I laugh, simply put, is to raise money, right? And reach the goals that John is setting forth and the foundation is setting forth. And so, you know, John gave a wonderful and passionate speech at Calling All Coyotes. And so just, like I said, just trying to reach those goals that are very necessary if we're going to keep advancing and keep competing at a high level. So,
what do you like about, I mean, obviously you're getting your feet wet and all that, but John comes in and he has put together his team, right? Mm-hmm. He's brought people in from different places and kind of in some put together this group. Mm-hmm. What do you like about you know, the vision that he has and the team he's put together?
I think he's already brought in, like, just studs, you know what I mean? So he brought in Ben LeCompte, so it's actually my direct report is Ben, and so Ben's got a ton of experience. He comes from K-State, where he was at right before here. Before that, he he played at NDSU, so he's very familiar with the league and just with the Summit League and the Missouri Valley and everything. So he's just very familiar. And so, he's been a great resource and a great asset. And like you said, he's just building up the team with really wonderful people. You keep saying, you probably see it on social media, like winning with people. And so he's really good at assembling like pieces, right? So like, okay, this is where, you know, we need help in this area and this person's really good at this. And then this person's really good at this. So they can kind of cover that. Like he's just really good at like piecing a puzzle together, I think. And so, I think he's had wonderful hires, and I think they're going to keep coming. So, yeah.
Well, I know people are excited to see where things go from here, and yeah. I know a lot of people will be excited to meet you, even though you'd knock on the door asking for money and all that good stuff.
Yeah, maybe not so much.
But you'll continue to get to know people and good stuff. Thanks for the time. Really appreciate it, and enjoy USD. I know a lot of people do, and we hope you do as well.
Yeah, so far it's been wonderful, so thank you so much.
That is Logan Bornholt. She is the assistant AD for development at the University of South Dakota, and really, really fun conversation with her. And you can tell she is fired up and excited to be not only at USD but in this role. And anytime people get that excited, I'm telling you, when they're fired up, it fires me up for them to have success. So we're looking forward to seeing how things go for her and all that good stuff. This is the time of the show where we usually talk about what's going on in Coyote Athletics, but just you got to stay tuned through the week and see how things go. We'll see what's coming up. There's not a lot of events scheduled. Obviously, there's preliminaries for the track and field athletes who qualify, and so we'll see who all qualifies by the end of the weekend and all that, and then we'll keep updated on some of that. But as always, there's always schedule changes, there's always updates and results and all of that. The sports information staff does a great job, and they keep you updated at goyotes.com, so check all of that out. All right, that's it for me this week. I'm John Thayer. Have yourself a great weekend. As always, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.